overall, you played 10 years with Johnny Lee Wills, but then you were 10 years with Hank Thompson.
Yes.
Do we have some stories and memories from those years?
Most of the memories I have, I couldn't talk about it right here.
I might interject here. Hank Thompson was known as kind of a party band, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Hank Thompson had the song The Wild Side of Life, and Hank Thompson and his band sort of pursued the wild side of life a lot of times. It was a pretty wild band out of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But you hung on for 10 years with them.
Yeah, I first worked 2 years, and then I came back to Tulsa trying to get off the road. And I ran a dry cleaning pickup station out here on North Cincinnati for a year. I wasn't doing any good, so I went back with Hank. That was in 58. I stayed with him 6 months that time, and I came back to Tulsa and went to work with Leon in about 1959.
Leon McAuliffe.
Yeah, Leon McAuliffe.
And you were with him for about 4 years.
Right. Then I went back with Hank and was with him then until 1970.
We should mention that Hank Thompson, in addition to being kind of a wild band, also had great, great musicians during that period, always in the downbeat polls. When they'd have a Western band or a hillbilly band or whatever, they were always number one as musicians. There was nobody better than Hank Thompson's band when Curly was in it.
I've got a trophy from the time I was on Hank's band.
And oh, yeah, that plaque.
Yeah, plaque. And it's got the years that we were number one. And they just barely did have enough space on that plaque to put all the years that I was on that band.
That was a great band, the Brazos Valley Boys.
Yeah. Of course, I had more years on there than anybody else because the year that I was off, I was still there part of the year, see, so from 55 until 70, that was 15 years. It looked like I was there.
Parts of 15 years.
Anyway. Yeah, parts of 15 years, but actually I was there 10 and a half years.
Were you ever tempted to front your own band and go out on your own?
Not until maybe later years. In fact, we did a record session with RCA Victor here in about 1953, I believe it was. The A&R man that came down here from RCA, his name was Steve Scholes. I was a vocalist on everything we did on that.
Those are some great records. Those are very prized among collectors. One of the things that Curly did was Blackberry Boogie, which Tennessee Ernie Ford, I guess, covered you, or we don't know which version came out first.
No, I don't know for sure. Of course, he had the big record on
but
it. You know.
Your record is awfully good.
But anyway, Al Clauser was up at our recording session up there one day. He was in the engineering room there, and Mr. Mayo and Steve Scholes in there, and I was doing the vocals on something. Steve Scholes said, oh, I wonder if he'd like to have a record contract. And Mr. Mayo said, oh, I don't think he would. You know, he's pretty well satisfied here with Johnny. You know, I didn't know anything about that because Steve Scholes never did say anything about it. Later on, I guess I had just gone to work with Leon McAuliffe in 59. And Al Clauser had a tune he wanted me to come and make a dub on. So I went out there and made a dub on that and a couple more tunes. I said something about, oh, I wish I could get a recording deal and get to record some tunes like that. He said, you know, I always wondered, said, why didn't you take that deal when Steve Scholes offered it to you? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I was sitting right there in the studio when he said he'd like to record you.
Wow.
And he said, Mr. Mayo said he didn't think I'd be interested. He said, I just took for granted that they had told you about it, but nobody ever did. And so three or four years later, more than that later, before I even knew anything about it. So anyway, I've not done anything with it, but at least that I had a chance at it.